Today's tape is entitled Faith or Sight. And I think we're in an age of much learning. An age of relearning. I think we have been taught and then taught and then retaught. The scriptures, I'm afraid, have been wrestled to many people's destruction. People 40 years in the Lord are still looking for the Lord's will. And I wondered about that. I wondered about, should I check it out with the Lord to see if it's His will that I be here every day? I wondered also, when we minister that way, and there's quite a few of them doing it right now. I wonder if they do that in their job. I wonder how many employers would keep them on if every day they had to wonder whether God was going to let them come to work or not. How many hearing this message today? Ear-tickling messages have been introduced. Confusion is the atmosphere. Leadership belongs to everybody. And then again, what if you were the doctor? Did all the nurses wanted to be the doctor, right, Kent? So everybody wants to be the leader. Everybody wants to make the incision. And so we're ending up in an age of much confusion. A shallow, humanistic gospel has taken the place of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A gospel of get has been introduced. Whew. One more thing, Lord. Give me one more miracle, Lord. A gospel of uninvolvement. When you take a look at the works that are doing anything, how many people are involved? How many people are supporting those works? And so we have the gospel of uninvolvement. Now I am afraid the scene has been set for a complete breakdown in the church of people who crave humanism, or home and gardens type of ministry, or would rather play house than lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in any kind of a works. And of course, we do it by lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in our own lives and as a body, bringing in souls, being examples, and then again, the person that gives his life to gain it doesn't say, I'm doing too much. We're in the throes now where, oh my, if this goes through what we're working on, and it looks like everything is going fairly smoothly here. That we might be able to progressively, step by step, be able to be used as an example of what can be done in a falling economy, and what can be done if we are creative by the hand of God, and how many people will be brought to Jesus Christ by our example. Anyway, how can we do too much for Jesus Christ? And so today we'll look at two opposite walks, faith and sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Though we've heard that a lot of times, haven't we? But we need to be introduced to it all the time. I believe the Apostle Paul here is saying that while he was at home in the body, he was absent from the Lord. He was saying, I would rather be out of this body, which is influenced by sight. And so he says, here's the principle. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by expectations. My God, the time I've been down here, if I went by sight, and I know that all of you have been involved in this, if we would have went by sight, we wouldn't even be here. But we've went by expecting things to happen. I expect things to happen. I looked at the budget and I looked at what comes in, and the people shut you off. You know, it's like a water thing and they just shut it off. See, the faucet in the summertime. The money that comes from the outside isn't there. And yet we had a bad roof down here. So I said, go ahead with it. That's $10,000. We needed some storage. I said, go ahead and build it. So we're going to build a big building over here. I say, you're nuts. Well, it's all in the attitude of walking by faith and expecting things to happen. If we really expect this business to go, there shouldn't be really any problem, right? Of course, there will be all kinds of problems, but you got to go on and you got to go up. You got to have some kind of a walk. I mean, get a life, right? How can we have a life if we're not walking? How can we get a life if we're not walking in faith? And so a person reminded me, hey, your wall is falling down out here. Well, I said, maybe someone's been walking around our church. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to put in a new wall. We're going to put on a brand new roof. We're going to put in a storage area by faith. I don't ask me what happened here, but I think that God spoke to the bank. Because he knows that I have been to them many, many times and nothing has happened. And all of a sudden they're calling us and they're telling we would like to help you out. Now that doesn't sound just right, does it? Kind of made me a little suspicious at first. Anyway, I thought to myself, this has got to be from God because they're not saying yes to anybody. So anyway, going on here, let's look at three things today. The posture mentioned. Next, the two principles contrasted. And then upon a certain caution which is implied. Number one, the posture mentioned. Paul speaking now then to the believers is saying, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now walking implies there's some kind of life in us, isn't that true? The dead don't walk. You can prop up a dead man and put him over in the corner over there and you can sew his eyelids open, but he's still dead. And so our attitude is to be a walking Christian. Something that necessitates life. Inward life. And I think a lot of people have wearied from doing well here in the very end time. They've stopped walking. They have become dead. They're kind of like this. They're talking about the things that might have been, the things that are going to be, but how about right now? What does the Bible say about now? It says, now faith is. How many know people like that? They're living way back here and they can't get a new beginning because they're too busy living in the past. Do you know what's frightening sometimes to start a brand new beginning? It's frightening because you know that maybe the bigger percent of the people won't really go for it, and you wonder about it yourself. But there's a brand new beginning, and it's right now. Today is the beginning. There's so many people living in yesterday and thinking about tomorrow and the fears of tomorrow they don't do right now. Well, we need a roof right now. We're talking about life rafts in the nursery down there. We need a roof right now. We need a wall right now. The whole wall is falling over. We need storage right now. Now, faith. And sometimes that's kind of hard to do. You hear those voices from the past. You. Remember. And you get stuck there. Or, wait a minute. Wait till it's, looking better out there. So you're stalemated. I love this progress that Dr. Kent is making. He isn't stuck in this and he isn't stuck in that. He's in the now. I mean, what's happening right now? That's an encouragement to me, Kent. I like to see that when there's a brand new beginning and it's happening right now, and you don't have to get stuck in it. In other words, you can change your mind. You're not fearful about progress in the right now. Well, you mean you might change your mind? Well, I mean, if something better comes along for the body of Christ, yeah. We're not stuck in the past, and we're not stuck in the future or the fear of the future, but we're going on right now. Well, it's hard to make a step right now, isn't it? Isn't it? To make that decision, that commitment. In renegotiating my contract because I didn't raise all of the money with the Unique Innovations, the company. Instead of going at a weakened position, I said, okay, now we're going to have a meeting to restructure everything. And here's the way I see it right now. And I'm negotiating from what I can do for the company. Make yourself more attractive to them so they can get into where you're at right now. And so I went out and I got an artist. It cost another $800 to get the whole thing done. And I showed these people that by faith I went ahead believing they were going to accept it. And the packaging is probably about 15% less and 9,000 times more beautiful. And even the salespeople say, wow, this is just fantastic. Now we have the packaging right here. And the position is that we want any and all of the packaging right now. Not a year from now, and not 2 years from now, not after this is done or after TV is done or whatever, but right now. Make it work right now. And that's how I have to do everything. I mean, if you don't have a whole lot of money, don't you have to live for the right now? If you don't have a lot of money to store up and build bigger barns, don't you have to make do with what you have right now? And yet not be afraid to move in and plan for the morrow while you're causing it to happen right now? Yeah. And I think instead of walking by faith, there's a whole lot of people that are sitting on their hands. Well, the Bible tells us the fields are white for the harvest. Whew. Now maybe you can excuse yourself by not walking by faith, but God doesn't. God does not excuse us. No, He doesn't. When that final question comes, where were you when? Well, let's have a rerun movie. You were over there sitting on your hands. Huh? Tweedledum and Tweedledee. What an exciting walk. To walk in faith. Believing in things that you can't see. Believing in that small inward voice. And so you see, it becomes with us, therefore, a question in the first place, whether we have the life of God within us. You know, I found out that a lot of times you can pay someone to do something, and they're doing it as a, or even if they volunteer and as they do it as a duty, hey, forget even having them there. If someone comes in, they said, I really want to do this job. Can I do it? When do you want to start? Oh, right now. A lot of times people will say, I really believe God has caused me to you know, I have a desire, God-given desire to do this. Well, when can you start? Well, I think probably next week or the week after or whatever. You know what's going to happen to that thing? It's going to die. But the person says, can I come to work right now? That encourages me. When you hire people, Kent, and you say, when can you start? And they know you, there's no one there to do the job. Say, well, when can you come in and give us a hand? We need help. Well, let's see, I've got exams, I got this, I got that, my grandma's coming in, I want to make sure I'm there for that joyous occasion and so on like that. Probably in about 2 weeks, you're going to find somebody else. Because you want somebody right now. When you tell your children to do something, do you want them to do it down the line? I know, I heard you. How many kids say that? I mean, we all do. I heard you. Nag, 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 nag. I heard you. Well, evidently you didn't hear me because it isn't done yet. No, I told you a week ago to do it. You know what I mean? When you have to go into the kid's room and you got to, you know, go in there like gangbusters with your shoulder because there's so much junk piled up against the door. Fuzz balls about this high in there. I heard you. How many of us do the very same thing with God? I heard you. Hey, get off my case. Parents, when you ask your children to do something, do you want them to do it right now or next week? Now. Now is the appointed time. Now salvation is. Now is the appointed time. When you go to work in the morning and you punch in, do you punch in on time? To me, that was always a great embarrassment to come in 1 minute late. Felt like every eye was upon me. You know why? Because they were. How many like to go to work and then just come in late? How many like to be on time? A couple of minutes to spare. You know, 5, 10 minutes to spare. So you're not running in, you got your hair all, you know, it's all messed up, it's sticking way out here. Huh? You got sleep in your eyes and you're a little sandman. Actually, it's mucus, crusty mucus that forms in there from sleeping. You barely see, you know, you haven't brushed your teeth or anything like that, you know, and you got one shoe that's untied or you got these tennis shoes on and they're flopping away, these tennis shoes, you know, and you got your shirt halfway tucked in, you know, huh? And you come running, oh, what time is it? What time? Oh, man, overslept. Oh, where's the coffee pot? Mm-hmm. No, you want that person to go to work right now. You have faith that he'll go to work right now. That's what the church is doing right now, the body of Christ. Coming in late. Coming in late at the 11th hour. Saying, where's the coffee pot? Not ready for action. Not having on the full armor of God. But, hey, where's the coffee pot? Sorry I'm late. Like 10 years late. Not so with you listening to this tape that haven't received Jesus as your personal Savior. No, not the same at all. Because, see, you can't walk till you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have a faith walk. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. So you haven't even started the walk yet. Not until God quickens you. Not until there's an inward life. There'll be no spiritual walking. But walking then again also signifies a activity, a moving. God never quickened us to sit and meditate. That's like sitting at the bus stop, bags and ticket, but never having a destination. How many people have been walking in the Lord for years and years and years and years, and like I said, they're still waiting for the will of God, and they're over here at the Greyhound bus station of spirituality, and they got their bags packed, and they're listening to the foghorn of the past, and they're listening to the future calling, and they're sitting right there because they don't know the will of God. How many people use that as an excuse? I don't know the will of God. When you tell your children something, you tell them right out, I want you to do this. Well, I didn't know you wanted me to make the whole bed. I thought I'd get by with just making half of the bed. I didn't know your full will here. Oh, allow me to show you my full will. How many people use this old, tired excuse? If the Lord wills. How many have heard that? If the Lord wills. Isn't it funny? You can do that with church things, but you don't do it with your job. You don't tell your boss. We'll see you tomorrow. You bet. But how about, we'll see you tomorrow if the Lord wills. You know, I tell an employee like that, or, you know, in business, what I tell an employee like that, I'd say, you don't mind if I go look for somebody else, because I don't know, the Lord might just turn you off anytime, you know, and get you out there, and it'd be nice to have somebody, and you can still stay here, but I mean, you know, we'll diminish you somewhat, and you can sweep the floors and kind of tidy around and so on, like, until you make up your mind, until you know the full will of God. People never use that in their job. I'll see you tomorrow if the Lord wills. It wouldn't work, would it? It works in the church because no one wants to argue with the person that you just are a lazy person and you don't want to do anything, so you're blaming it on God. Isn't that right? Isn't that true? Don't we have excuses like that all the time? If the Lord wills. Don't say that when you go on vacation. We don't say that when we go on to these great, fabulous ministries over in wherever, overseas or Southern California during the wintertime. We don't ask the will of God there. We just know we're supposed to go there. Wonder how many of the people that support this ministry outside of this church, if they ask God, well, is it your will that we take care of the mission during the summertime? God, no, just imagine this. Get down on your hands and knees, and you listening here now, get these tapes. God, should we help the poor during June, July, in August. Is it your will that these people eat? Is it your will that I work for my employer in June, in July, and August? They never pray that prayer. And then again, we have people that say, we walk. Oh, I'm walking, but which way are you walking? Then they say, well, we must continue on in prayer. That's true. But you better bless others when you get the answers from God. I believe Christians should pay more attention to their legs than to their heads all the time. I believe they should walk with a certain amount of doctrine there so they don't fall all the time. And so we walked. We walk by faith. That means you're moving. It means you're active. It means you're going out and coming in and you're active. Sinners are more active than people are in the church. They're active. They got a schedule, man. They get up in the morning and they praise God, it's Friday night, and they have a certain ritual they go through all the time, and they don't miss count with nothing. It's chug-a-lug time every Friday night. Hey, they don't miss none of that. They don't miss their fellowshipping at the bar. God knows when I was into that, I never missed my fellowshipping at the bar. I'd be mad at myself. What time is it? I overslept. Oh, man, huh? Shouldn't we be angry when we miss the calling of God in the now? Hey, this is the most exciting faith walk that we're in right now. Now is your opportunity, and all of you listening to this radio or tape, it is your opportunity to move in faith, in the now faith, right now, when everything is pretty dry out there. How many know it's dry out there? How many know it's a lot of stuff is just dried up? Charismatic movement, for the most part, dry. Prosperity teachings. How many of the winds have taken those things away? And what remains? Trusting in the Lord right now. When everything looks like it isn't going to turn out right now. When finances aren't there. When people have disappeared, what are you going to do right now? When business is going downhill, but what are you going to do? What creative thinking are you going to come into by the hand of God right now? God, show me what to do right now. Well, isn't also the posture of walking, doesn't that imply progress? I mean, how can you make any headway if you're not walking? Think about that one. I'm sitting and I'm looking at, Lord, show me how to make things work right now. Well, standing in front of this, I guess I was over at Menards. And they had all of these little packages wrapped so neatly, plumbing parts, and this and that, and this and that, and this and that. And the Lord spoke to me. And it just popped right out at me. Huh? Go see these manufacturers. Ask him if you can put the mission's name on that stuff, buy it in bulk, wrap it up, do your own wrapping, your own packaging, and sell it right now. It's a proven product. You can find out from any cash register person checkout person, which is the high impulse buying. But they're buying, well, what sells here on this, I don't know what to do with my eyeballs aisle. I'm in here with carts bumping me in the ankles. What do people pick out of this collage of candy and whatever? Package it up. Put it on there. Put on the back of the card what it's for and where the money goes, and that all of the profits go to the mission. That all of the profits that come in help your taxes to go down. All the plumbing parts and faucets and whatever you can get your hands on. Whatever they'll give you out there. When you put on all these, how many know there's this packages after packages after packages of this stuff? Well, I thought that $200 suit, $300 and some bucks I spent on myself to go talk to these businessmen over here at the country club, I was wondering, boy, what a waste. And the Lord showed me, well, you'll be using this suit several times to go on out and sell. And so we'll go out and sell. We'll go out and buy from the people. See, people got to make money too, don't they? So you go out and buy from the people all the little trinkets and candies and whatever you're going to bag up with your machines that are up here, and progressively making more work for people in this area here. And your niche is that all of the profits go to feed the poor and give them jobs. Not too bad an idea. Where are you going to get all that money? I don't know. Maybe at this name of the game, people will be glad for you to take their product on consignment. I don't know. I haven't been out there yet. But I know it's there. I know that if I walk in faith right now and knock on enough doors, I know if I throw enough line out there, someone's going to bite. I know that that's the way the odds work. I know there's enough compassion out there. So if a person really needs something, they're going to buy it from something that's doing them some good. And so by moving along with nothing, walking with an empty billfold, walking with a charged suit, huh? And a pair of lamb's skin shoes. I went to a great extreme to try to convince people. Say amen. Amen. And as you're walking, and as you're knocking, and as you're seeking, what's the Bible say? It shall be open unto you. And that's in each and everything we do when we walk in faith. We seek, we knock, and it is opened. And if they don't receive your peace back to yourself and go to the next door. Don't get angry. Don't get shook. Keep knocking. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Keep right on walking in faith. Right on, straight ahead. Motivated by faith. Oh, so you mean you're going to go out there walking in faith? Here's a faith case right here. This is a faith case. Okay? It's got all the product in there, okay? And you walk into the thing and you show them your product, and your niche is that you're feeding the poor. Not your con, but your niche. That all of the profits, when it leaves that counter, now be careful in the wordage, all of the profits, every 100% of that profit goes to feed the poor. Would you buy, how many would buy something like that? Okay, you get all these thousands of people that are coming in here. We've got Hmongs, Laotians, Black, Indians, white, and we get a great big collage, a big picture. Help us help ourselves. Or a candy bar. Take a bite out of hunger. Will it work? Hey, you don't know until you try it. How many people just feel sick about the things they didn't try? Oh man, I'm sick. I had that idea. Right? Oh, if only I would have tried that 20 years ago. I knew it. Believe me, there's a lot of ideas I had and I never tried them. Well, that means I ain't got a whole lot of time left. I'm going to be trying all these ideas. That's faith. That's when the economy's down and everything looks like it's going to go toilet bowl, that's when you go for it. Well, everybody's talking about the economy, you're out there selling. Kind of nice to be out there walking in faith. Want to know why? You don't walk by yourself. The life I live now, I live by faith. It's Jesus in you. It's a team effort. Your body, His spirit. How? Not to say that you're going to go in there and prophesy over people, but when you speak and you pray before you come in there and God leads you to people, when you go in there and you ask them the question, will you help us? Do you think the Spirit's going to be in that? Will you help us? The word now, feed the poor. Think about it. Don't give me your answer right now. Sleep on it. And then you go home and you pray. I venture to say after two or three days of no sleep, if it's a hardened heart. Well, I read a book like that. Well, books are books, and you know. I'm talking about this book, the Bible. Walk by faith. And so I think a lot of times we don't make time to grow up as Christians. I think that we need to walk and that we're not swayed by every wind of doctrine, every word from someone. I think that we can go from strength to strength. God doesn't say this is the way and stop. He says this is the way, walk ye in it. I mean, God has given me the way to go here, but I've got to walk in it. I'm going to sit down. Oh, I don't know. I mean, if they're going to bite or whatever. I don't know. Situation in this country is so desperate that if you have enough guts to go into the printer and you have enough guts to go into the Mr. Bubble Pack, the blister pack man, to make the molds for you, and you have enough guts to up front go on out and get the business out there, people are so anxious to make a profit, they'll go with you because you're portraying life. When no one else is buying, you say, well, hey, nothing's moving right now. How about giving me a chance on this thing? And you got your artwork all done. You got the prototype all ready to go and says, this is what your product's going to look like. And you take their little bubble pack, pull their bubble out there, glue it on your board, and do a mock-up. The men are standing there idle or not doing anything anyway. Shall we go for it? What do you think? What do they got to lose? Wow, what are your credentials? 12 years in the ghetto and I'm still alive. And I don't even have what the world has. I get help from a little, I'll get by with a little help from my friends. Walk means we are actuated by faith. We get up and we are motivated by faith. We are stirred up on the inside to move on it against every kind of fleshy leanings. And that's how Wayne got into his house over there. A 45, was it, would you say 45,000? 45,000. Alicia went out and she offered him 25,000 for that house. Came back and said, they won't take it, you better go to 30. I says, offer him 26. They took it. He's in a brand new house. Right, Lish? Lish sealed the whole deal by faith. She went out. She was gracious enough to do the whole thing. So if you need any real estate deals, here she is right here. Alicia, right there. Plan on buying a new home? Alicia. Do you plan on buying a new home? Anybody? Trading homes? Trading up? Trading down? Right there. Why not? And can't the same thing be done if we only believe? How can you believe when you can't walk in faith? And if you don't have a faith walk, you really don't believe. You say, I believe, and then don't take off with it. This is the way, walk ye in it. Elliot does that with the houses. They have to buy the property first, right? They have to clear it. You have to go through all the title searches and all this and all that. Well, you don't know what's going to happen. Some old third cousin of a third cousin. Well, no, this is all tied up because so-and-so has this land deal here. How do you do that, Daddy? You do it by faith. You're walking into this thing, see? By faith. And you clear the land and you dig the basement and you put up the 2x4, hoping that someone will buy it. Now, we are always to make advances. We are to be going from faith in its very beginnings to faith in its perfections. From faith to assurance, from assurance to full assurance, from full assurance to hope of a full assurance of understanding. And it comes progressively as we move on and we move in faith and dare to believe God. Growing stronger and stronger every day in a weakened economy. It doesn't matter. And so also I think there is a great progress to be made in the every Christian grace. Each grace comes in degrees. We grow, in fact, it says in the Bible. We grow in grace, but you grow in grace. God gives you the ability as you just go out there and attack the problem and you're walking in the way. Walk ye in it. Now you tell a little one when he's very a toddler and you tell him, go get mommy's slippers or go get mommy's cup over there, and it takes off and he, by faith he looks around, you know, he's sort of duddy looking yet, and he just toddles over the wrong table. Now you're going to redirect his steps. So we might take the wrong steps in the beginning. God will redirect you if you got enough faith to even start moving. Some encouragement to God if you just move. So dumb and Tweedledee. But also walking implies perseverance. When a person goes a step or two, then stops or returns, that's not faith. And they go 2 steps ahead and 4 steps back, okay? And they go, well, okay, I'm going. And they knock on the first door. Oh, man, I hope nobody's there. Ring-a-ding-ding-ding, they ring the bell. Oh, God, I hope nobody's there. It starts out when you're selling cookies for the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, knock on the door, and you're ringing the bell with your little bag of cookies. Ring. They haven't answered. 30 seconds have passed. Ring. That fear of the unknown. No, you keep right on going. No, I don't want none of that. Get out of here. What, is this some kind of a Christian gimmick or something? Get out of here, you bum! Okay, receive your peace back to yourself. Go to the next door. Ring-a-ding-ding-ding-ding. A ring-a-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. A ring, and you rang all of these bells until you're just about rung out, so to speak. Okay? And then let's say you go to Walmart. A ring-a-ding-ding-ding-ding. Well, I like it. Give me 1,000,002 of those. Whoa. Of course, I am a dreamer anyway, but I mean, hey, dreams. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to wait. I'll take one order against a million and a half, but it could happen, right? By continually ringing them bells. Exposing yourself to a kick or a slap or a get out of here. Faith. I mean, that's when you really put your faith is tried. Selling right now, Alicia, isn't your faith tried out there in that market? You bet. Everybody wants to look at the place and go in and, so to speak, kick the tires, slam the doors, criticize, look around, sniff. Most times they aren't going to buy anything. Right? And so you stop? No, you go to the next place, and the next place, and the next place, and the next place. And then maybe the first kicker and sniffer comes back to buy that place, because he's kicked and sniffed out from all these other places. So, I mean, you got to continue on. You don't stay with one person. You say, well, if you change your mind, here's my number. See, the Christian motto is upward and onward. Means that we reassure ourselves continually if we'll keep right on a walking. If we'll keep right on against all of the odds. Well, shouldn't we be ready 24 hours a day for business? Someone called you, Alicia. 2:31 in the morning. And you take one eye and you look over there and think, oh, is it morning already? And it's the phone and it isn't a clock. And you look over there and someone says, I hate to bother you at this hour, but we've decided to buy that $250,000 home. We just wanted you, you know, I'm so tired. I was afraid I would oversleep and not get it. Did I disturb you too much? Would you be awake, Lish? Oh, in your car. Say, well, wait a minute. Now you got me so wide awake now that I'll have to come over and sign this thing before I get any sleep, too. Let's get together. I'll meet you down at Perkins. Huh? And you're in there. It doesn't look like you've been sleeping. And you get in there and you throw some water in your face. Whoo! 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 And you go out there. You got your dress on backwards, maybe, but you get down there. Now we're talking here about motivation in the spiritual things also, which, by the way, can be put into the actual factual everyday living. That's what you are. That's what your life is. And so there's two things we're talking about here today. Two propositions. Either you walk by sight or you walk by faith. And people out there in the world say, well, seeing is believing, and that's how shallow they really are. And so the world, you'll find out, things they know it all. because they only go by sight. Oh, I won't believe it till I see it. And so we're looking at each other's stockpiles. We're looking at each other's crops and each other's armies. Isn't that the way the world is looking right now to everything they see? The world is so fearful right now. They're so claiming for themselves right now. But ours then, again, the Bible says, is to be the opposite. We're only getting a shadow of the things to come. This is only a foretaste of the things to come. This is only a foretaste of the glory that will be before us. But it's impossible then again to please God if you don't walk by faith. People go into business that way too, don't they? Yeah, they do. They do go by what they see. I overheard some people up here sitting up here talking. They were talking about the Greeks up here at the best steakhouse up on Lowry and plugging them now, Lowry and Penn. Well, you know, wouldn't it be great to start a cafe? Yeah, I mean, you know, we could improve it. We could have steaks and hamburgers and we could make a fortune. Look at all the business coming in here. Man, they're lined up all the way out the door. We could be our own boss. We could get rich doing this thing. And they were talking, and I was allowing them to talk, and they went on and on and on and on. See, they were making their decision while someone else was serving them. Your order's ready, and someone, now they're making their decision. Doesn't this look like fun? And the waitress, there you go. And could I get you anything else? And what does the little one, do you want another Pepsi, darling dear? Everybody's smiling at each other. But see, they don't see the background. They're just going by sight. They don't see dirty dishes piled way up like this. They don't see the dishwashing machine that busted down. They don't see the bank that's coming in because the mortgage is due. They don't see any of that. They're just in this rosy picture of home for me and you'll have on a little flowery apron, and I'll have a cook hat on, and I'll say, steaks for two, did you say, darling dear? Ain't the way it is. It's hot in there. It's hot. Turning them steaks in there, shoop, turning them over, shoop, butter and toast. Huh? People stealing out of your till. Yeah. Ooh, huh? See, I used to be in business, and I've watched several times, very cool people steal. How about the purses that go out there with steaks in their purse? Come in with a little skinny mini purse like that, and they have the ones with the accordion ends on them, and they go out, you know, they're great big saddle bags. But they don't see any of that. Oh, I'd like to have a ministry. Oh. Or they don't see the bubble snapping, stealing sometimes waitress that's always tearing the place down. Oh, I'm so sick of this place. And she picked on the wrong one time. And this is another place. I'm so sick of this place. And the work, you have to do this. I say, hey, you're talking to the wrong guy here. This is your job, okay? If you don't like this job, you can just quit and go away. But right now, while you need this job, and the tips are pretty good, by the confession of your own mouth a couple of weeks ago, you said this is the best tips you've ever made, you're going to have to put up with a certain amount of this, okay? And I says, you're making a living here. Don't tear down your living. Don't cause an inward falling by your mouth. How about the dishwasher that's out there banging them dishes around, breaking every other dish? How about the janitor that doesn't do his job and just prints his name in the middle of the floor, and the greasy floor prints his name, I was here. Huh? Whoa! See, people, I think a lot of times are like children. You show a kid a nickel or a dime, he's going to take what looks the biggest, the nickel. Right? Ooh. Oh, give me a pawpaw. I could do a lot better. Give me a mission in the ghetto. I could do a lot better. And yet again, when a man grows up, he doesn't judge by sight. Well, you'll see on TV these big ministries looking for money. Won't you? Huge. In the summertime, the faucet's been shut off and there's just a drip coming out. Praise God for leaky gaskets. Drip, 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 drip. Folks, this worldwide ministry is going to have to close if we don't get your money. If you don't send in your tithes during the summertime, if you don't give your mid-year tithes, we're going to go under. And you see them out there, and it's easy to judge them and say, oh man, they got everything going for them. They ought to be down in that north side down there. I mean, you know, look at the place is full. They got everything. But don't judge. Don't judge. They got a whole lot going on there. There's more at stake out there. I mean, they got bills you don't even think about. It's easy to judge, though, by sight, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? You see somebody and all, everything looks so good for them and everything, but you don't know the inward workings of that person. You don't know those fears that are in that person or that young girl or that young boy that are going to school, and you don't know all the frustrations and all the things they have, and it's so easy to judge them. Because you go by sight. Don't do it. Well, you know, I think you should do this, and I think you should do that, Kent, in your business. And I don't want to tell you what to do or anything like that. You know, that kind of people. But I've noticed this. Well, if they noticed it, why didn't they fix it? Isn't there a lot of noticers that pass notice and pass judgment without actually fixing things? Isn't it nice to have somebody that takes the initiative, that picks up the ball and does the thing versus just saying, I've noticed lately?
Whoa.
Well, in the end, Solomon tried it all. He had the riches and the power and the pleasure. You know what he said finally? He said at the very end, your inward life, your life is your toil. Your life is your work. Your life is your anchor. After all, vanity of vanities, after all is said and done, all you have in this old life is your work, your walk. There is nothing else. After everything is said and done, it's your work. What's wrong in our country right now? No one's working, so to speak. So many idle hands. Well, there's no jobs out there. Oh, yes, there is. Well, I'm not going to go to work for $5 an hour. Why not? Okay, until something better comes along, right? Isn't it? Isn't it better to get something than nothing? Isn't that funny? We're always looking for the big kill that'll take care of all the problems. And you know how it comes? It comes in doses. Money comes in just little dosages, right? This is your time, Deb and Elliot. This is the season for you to make money, right? When the winds blow and winter starts howling in here, you know, everything shuts down. Right? Maybe we'll have to come up with some kind of an idea. Maybe we'll have to build two or three shells of houses somehow, preparatory for winter slowdowns so we can just work on the inside. How many are hearing this today? Now faith is what I'm talking about. Have you got a job yet? How old are you?
16.
And you're looking for a job though, right?
Kinda.
No, well, I'll have to do better than that. Because kinda won't cut it, you know what I mean? And I'm not criticizing you, but it's got to be, I want a job, not kinda. You can't go into an employer and say, well, were you looking for a job? Well, kinda. He won't give you a job. He doesn't want a kinda. And I'm just giving you advice here. You could pay $45 for half hours in this, you know, at the couch ministry, but I'm just telling you, it can't be kinda, right? Mm-hmm. You know that. You got to, okay, here's the way to do that. And I understand what you mean. Oops, I understand what you mean by kinda. You just really don't know what you want to do yet. And maybe there's a few fears there, you know. I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can handle it. How many in here have fears about, you know, what they're going to go into? And so that, when you say kinda, it really does, you can't judge a person by that. What you say is, well, he's really not sure of himself yet. That's where faith comes in. When you say to God, you say, God, I really want a job, but I'm kind of fearful of going out there. We all are. You're not alone. We're all kind of fearful. And so we say, Lord, I want a job. Will you help me out? And then you get your walk and see, and you walk in faith towards that job. When they say, will you accept this job? It only pays $425. How much are you making now? Zero. And you know, when you get to be 16, it gets humiliating to ask mom for money. It does, because all the moms will say at that time, and they're right too, is that all you do is know how to spend mom's money? I mean, I'm out there working every day. I'm not made of money. I'm not a money tree. Moms just irritate you right into a job every time. Oh, they're so mean. Praise God for moms. Praise God for dads that just say, go on out and do it. You remember when you kids went to work? Huh, Debbie? You're going to drive up to that first job she had there. Oh, I hate to go. Just go on in there and go to work. Something better will come along. Because you know what? I knew from my own life that if the kid doesn't get out there above all those fears and go tackle that job by faith, that they get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Pretty soon some Jim Dandy gets a hold of them out there. Hey, I can tell you how to make an easy buck. You don't have to do nothing. You see kids around right now. And, well, they're not kids anymore. They were the old flower children, you know what I mean? And they're sitting in their mom. It was a deal on TV, a show, and the guy says, well, they're always complaining about smoking dope and things like that, but you know how hard it is on your health, but it hasn't changed me. And I've been doing it for 15 years. It didn't change him. He was the same as he was, and his mom was still rapping on the door. What are you doing in there? He hadn't changed. I mean, he was 30 years old, and he still didn't have a job. And he was still in there smoking dope, and he was still hurrying around opening up the windows to let the dope flow out of there. You didn't change him? That's the trouble. Sometimes inactivity doesn't do us, you say it doesn't do you any harm, it does you a lot of harm. But I understand what you're saying. You're just kind of undecided now. Gee, I don't know, what can I do? I don't like this, I don't like that. Maybe you should go down where your mother's working. Where are you working, hon? What? Nursing home. Do they need help over there? 16? They don't hire 16-year-olds? Oh. Maybe they could find a place for them, though. Hey, if the minister doesn't challenge people, what kind of a minister is he? Go on out and get a job. Get a job. Ooh, do, 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 do. Get a job, huh? You know, sometimes you can get so mad at the preacher. Going up, get a job. Ooh, that guy! Not only do you, I'm talking to teenagers all over. It's the truth. How old are you, honey? 14. Old enough to go to work. Yeah, really. Really. 9 years old, my dad says, you know what? I think maybe you go in the kitchen and wash the dishes. And I grew 1 inch and he put me out in the front. And they had these old-time counters, you know, dear? And they were about up to here. They were like they were a bar. And, of course, I was shorter then, so I suppose that's why they were up to here. But I had to go out and wait tables. And I was so shy, especially when girls come in. Girls would come in, you know, and they want to... Of course, I didn't look like I look now. But then they'd be kind of... God, I hated to go over there and wait on these girls. It was torture for me to wait on these tables. But do you think my dad would help me out? No. I had to go right over there and wait on these tables and wait on these tables and wait on these tables. There's no doubt in my mind that you're a good worker and this lovely young lady is a good worker over here. You just need that chance. Need a chance. Walk by faith. To walk by faith and move ahead. What a grand advantage in closing that we have here. The life that I live not, but Christ liveth in me. I don't have to go by myself. I've got someone to guide me. I have a deliverer. I have the helper. I have the Prince of Peace. I have that mighty God is He on my side. The world says, I walk alone because to tell you the truth, I would rather. How many know that song? I walk alone because to tell you the truth, I would rather. All my dreams I won't scatter, I'll walk alone. They're so afraid. Let me close it up here. Let me close it up in saying that we prosper the minute that we get up and we start to walk in faith. The minute that we get up. The minute that we say, hey Lord, I'm willing to go through the furnace of affliction. I'm willing to go through that ministry of the dungeon in the midnight hour with the lions or Mount Carmel or in the desert or the giants in David's day or the boiling oil that John had or the cross upside down like Peter or stoned like Stephen. I walk by faith and not by sight. Right now, I know I'm being transformed while I'm ministering right here. Because any time that a minister doesn't minister to himself as he's ministering on to others, I'm hyping myself up for a new thing. Think about it. I have to hype myself up by ministering to others to go on out and do this job that God has called me to do. To go on out and sell people on the idea that there are people down here that need jobs, and there's people down here that need food, and there's people down here and all over that need clothing and so on like that. And the only way that you can do it is to walk by faith and not by sight. Because I'll tell you the very, very truth, if you walk by sight, you're going to get defeated in every turn. Every turn. That's the end of my message here today, but you guys be praying for me too, because I'm starting a brand new job. How'd you like to be 58 and going for a job? Would you say you had a little advantage on me? Be praying for me, and I know everybody in here is moving by faith. It wouldn't be down here. Look at Kent over here, Dr. Kent. moving into a brand new thing now. It was kind of scary a bit, wasn't it? You bet. It hasn't stopped him. See, amen. From dogs to people. Whoa. That is scary. Yeah. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, my God. So much depends on us walking by faith down here right now. Against all the odds. Against all of the pressures. But we're still doing it. I sometimes wonder if people say, are thinking to themselves, when is that guy going to die? When will it be over? But then again, there's probably another part of them over there that's saying, well, at least I have to give him credit. Every 2x4 has been used on that man's donkey head and he's still standing. Maybe that's true too, isn't it? Okay, who's going to sing today? Walk by faith, folks.